The Mishnah in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Tes Vav, tells us about the following case. You have two people walking on the road. One person has a barrel, let's say, of wine. A second person has a barrel, it's really a pitcher, but let's call it a barrel of honey. So you have a barrel of honey in one man's hand, a barrel of wine in the other. Honey is more expensive than wine. Dvash is more expensive than yayin. And the barrel of honey breaks, and therefore the honey is about to spill out and go to waste. The fellow who owns the yayin spills out his yayin in order to save the fellow's honey, because the honey is more expensive, and therefore he spills out the wine, and he goes ahead and he saves the fellow's honey. After the story, he comes over to the Baal HaDvash, and he says, please pay me, A, for doing this service for you, and B, pay me for my wine. I threw out my wine in order to prevent a financial loss on your part. So please reimburse me. So the halacha is that he has to pay him like a payel, because he did a pa'ula for him. He did a service for him by taking his wine and saving and throwing his wine out and saving your dvash. However, he cannot demand that he reimburse him for the lost wine. He cannot be toiveya him in Bezdin for the wine. And the Gemara, though, says that there's a distinction between whether he took it, he did this on his own initiative, or he was master beforehand that he's going to have to be reimbursed. And says the Gemara like this, based on Rashi over there, that it depends. If the Baal Hayayin just threw out the wine in order to save the honey of this fellow, then, in fact, he cannot be toivei him to pay him for the wine. However, if before he threw out his wine, he said, if I throw out my wine, you're going to have to reimburse me, and he did it al das kain, he stipulated, then the Baal HaDvash, in fact, has to reimburse him for his wine. Azay shteit in Gemara. So it turns out that it depends. If you said before you spilled out your wine, you're going to have to pay me for my wine if I spill it out, then the Baal HaDvash is mechuyev to pay you for the wine. If you just did the act of saving the guy's dvash by spilling out your wine without first being master and stipulating that you're going to have to reimburse him, then in fact, you don't have any claim in Bezdin, and you can't be toivei him to reimburse you for the wine if you just did it with your own initiative and you didn't have any tnai before the mice. The Gemara asks from the following case. The Gemara says that there's a halacha called Meshata Nibach. Meshata Nibach is a case where, let's say, a person was running away from prison and he had to cross the river. Desperate, running from the authorities, he had to cross the river. And there was a fellow there who had his little boat, and he was your only way out. There was a guy, and you said, please take me to the other side of the river. And he said, I'm gonna pay you a dinar if you help me escape from the authorities and you take me across the river. The Gemara says, the Mishnah over there says, what's the halacha? The Braisa says, you only have to pay him the regular fare, the regular price, the market value for having this transport by sea or by river, and you don't have to pay him the dinar that you promised him. In other words, you were desperate because you had to escape, and therefore you said, if you take me across, I'm going to give you a dinar, which is very expensive, more expensive than the market value for such a trip. Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, you don't have to pay him the entire dinar, you only pay him the market value after the fact, because you could say, Mishata Nibach. I wasn't serious. When I said I'm going to pay you a dinar, I wasn't serious about it, and therefore I don't have to pay you the full dinar, I only have to pay you the market value. As I state in Braisa. So frek the Gemara, in our case as well. Why do we say that if you were masneh, if the Baal HaYayin said, I'm only going to spill out my wine and save your dvash if you reimburse me afterwards for my wine? Why do we say that in that case, the Baal HaDvash Taka has to pay him for his wine afterwards? Why can't the Baal HaDvash say to the Baal HaYayin, Meshata Nibach, even though you were masneh, you stipulated that I'm going to have to reimburse you for the wine before you spilled out your wine, I didn't really have kavana to pay you the value of the wine. I was in a desperate place. I was desperate. I needed to save my honey. It's just like the guy running away from the authorities where he needed this other fellow to help him escape, where we say, Mishata Nibach, even though he promised a large amount of money to pay him, Mishata Nibach, he wasn't serious, and therefore he doesn't have to pay him. Azay frek the Gemara. Zok the Gemara, Holoi Dami El Lesefa. Says the Gemara, there's a very basic difference between the case of the wine, where when you can't say, you cannot say Mishat Anibach, and the case of the crossing of the river, when you're running away from jail, where you do in fact say Mishat Anibach. And that is, that in the case of the wine, when you said, I'm only going to spill out my wine if you reimburse me for my wine, that is taka, a loss that I was taking. So it made sense that you should pay me for my wine. Therefore, since I'm not telling you that you have to pay me more than what the value of the wine is, in that case, you cannot say Mishat Anibach. In the case of running away from Beis Asur, when you promise a dinar and it's worth much less than a dinar, so we say, since you're going above market value, then we, even though you got the guy to agree, you say Mishat Anibach, you weren't serious about the agreement, and you don't have to pay him the larger amount. Mashenkin, in the case of the wine, that's taka, the loss you incurred. You lost your wine. And therefore, since you're asking him to reimburse you the loss of the value of the wine, that's not irrational. And therefore, we cannot say Mishat Anibach, and you have to taka pay him for the loss of the wine. So what emerges is the following rule. If the Baal HaChavis wouldn't have lost anything, if let's say his barrel was empty, The Baal Hayayin didn't have any wine in his barrel. He had an empty barrel, and the other fellow had dvash, and his barrel broke. And what you did was, you said, I'm only going to save your dvash by using my empty barrel to save your honey if you reimburse me, you pay me $150. You make up a price. The halach is, even though he might agree to it, we say Mishat Anibach, and he doesn't have to pay you for the $150. He only has to pay you the schar pu'ula, how much a poil would charge you for doing this melacha of putting in this barrel and saving the dvash. However, in the Bryce's case, in the Mishnah's case, he's talking about an actual loss that occurred with his wine. He lost his wine. Therefore, since it's reasonable to expect the person to reimburse you for your wine, in that case, you cannot claim Mishat Anibach. If, let's say, it wouldn't be reasonable, such as the case of the Bayreach Mibes Asum, where he says, I'm going to pay you a dinar, and that's more than the market value, so that's not reasonable, it's more than what it actually costs, and therefore, you could say Mishat Anibach. Or if, let's say, your chavis was empty, and you saved the guy's dvash, and you were masne, that, you know, he has to pay you $150 afterwards, again, he could say Mishat Anibach, he doesn't have to pay you. Now, when it comes to this halacha of Mishat Anibach, when you can say it and when you can't say it, there's a tremendous machlekes rishonim as to how far this halacha extends. For example, what is the halacha if a person has to get somewhere? He's in Eretz Yisrael, he wants to get to the Kaisel. And you have a cab driver that says 100 shekel. Why? Because he knows that the guy is desperate, he needs to get to the Kaisel, and he's willing to pay top dollar for it. The halacha is, l'chayra, we say Mishat Anibach if the guy wasn't serious. The question is, do you say Mishat Anibach in this particular case? The market value is under $100, and therefore, perhaps we should say that even though you agreed with the cab driver that you're going to pay him this incredibly high price for this fare to the Kaisel, perhaps afterwards you could say Mishat Anibach, I wasn't serious, and I'm putter. Or no, do we say that you're chayiv? What are the gedarim of this halacha? How far does this apply? So there are three opinions in the Rishonim as to the extent and the nature of this din of Mishat Anibach. The first opinion is the Tshuva of the Rosh. The Tshuva of the Rosh is in Klal Samach Dalin in Sim Gimel. And the Rosh is talking about a very interesting case. The Rosh says that he is dealing with a shaila where a person approaches his friend, and he says, please be an Orif on my halva. I want to be a loiva, I want to borrow someone, but he needs someone to co-sign on the halva. Please be an Orif, a guarantor on the loan that I want to take from someone. The Orif says, okay, but I want you to pay a certain amount, a certain fee, a large fee to me for being your Orif, for being your guarantor. And he says, okay, and he agrees to it. And the question is, afterwards, he wants to say, Mishat Anibach. That's ridiculous. This price is not what it costs to hire a regular Ariv, and therefore this is completely extravagant, and I don't have to pay you. I wasn't serious. Can the Loiva say Mishat Anibach to the Ariv or not? Says the Rosh, he could, in fact, say Mishat Anibach. Why? Because since it's not worth this amount on the market to be an Ori for someone, therefore, it's like the case of a person who is running away from jail, and he hires someone for a dinar to, you know, pass, you know, take him across the river, and really the fare costs much less on the market. In that case, you could say mishatanibach, because that's not its real price. And therefore, just like we said that if you take an empty barrel and you're the bal hayayin, but you don't have any wine in your barrel now, and you take the empty barrel and you save the guy's dvash, and your masna, you're going to pay me $150. Havada, he could say mishatanibach. So too, in this case of the orev, he doesn't have to pay him. It's mavur from the Rosh that any time you hire someone to do something for you, if you agree to something, but the agreement is to pay the guy a higher amount than the market value, because you're somehow desperate, it doesn't matter, you say mishatani bach, and you don't have to pay him l'maisa. And this applies even if it's not b'makom mitzvah, and even if it's not b'makom einis. There's no einis. Is there a terrible einis that's forcing you to take this halva? No, the Rosh is talking about a regular loive. Even though there's no einus, it's not a makom mitzvah, the Rosh Hashita is, you could say mishatani bach, and you could absolve yourself from having to pay the guy, since he got you to agree to pay something more than the market value, and therefore you could say, I'm potter. So that's the halacha. In all cases where you agree to pay something for someone, and it's more than the market value, you could say mishatani bach. That's the sheet of the Rosh. What's the pshat in this Rosh? L'maisa, you agreed to pay him. How could you just claim I wasn't serious? I'm mishatani bach, I was joking. L'chayra, you explicitly agreed to make this payment. You agreed to the deal. How could you get out of it by saying mishatani bach? What's taka the pshat in the Rosh? So the pshat is, the Achrei Nimal explained, that the pshat in the Rosh is as follows. Since the derech ha'olam is not to pay this amount for the service that he did for you, and he's charging you much more than the market value, then we say it's an anansadi, that which he agreed is only a joke. He didn't agree in a serious manner because he would never agree to pay more than he has to. And therefore, since a person doesn't pay such a high price for this service, we say that he wasn't serious. There's a non-sadi that it wasn't serious, and therefore the agreement is null and void, and he's potter from paying. That is the shita of the Rosh. So therefore, says the Rosh, if you, the Arev, say that I'm only become an Arev to you if you pay me $150, since that's more than the market value of becoming an Arev, even if there's no oinus, there's no mitzvah, he could say mishatani bach, there's a non-sadi that he wasn't serious. That's the shita of the Rosh. The Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban holds that the whole din of mishatani bach only applies in a case of oinus. In other words, says the Ramban, the only time we say that you could tie in a mishatani bach and pat yourself from an agreement is only an example like the case of the guy running away from jail. In that case, he needed to cross the river. And out of the extenuating circumstance that he was in, he decided, you know what? I'll pay you whatever. I'll pay you even a tremendously high price. I'll pay you a dinar for passing the river, for crossing the river for me. In that case, where he only agreed in a case of an oinus, in that case, we taka say that he could say mishatani bach, and afterwards he doesn't have to pay. However, if it's a case where there's no oinus, then he cannot say mishatani bach. In Memele Zokter Amban, you only say mishatani bach if it's clear that the ischaivus was made in a matziv where you didn't have any other choice, you were desperate, and only if it's clear that you were desperate when you went into this agreement could you say mishatani bach and pat yourself. But if you hire someone, let's say, to become an orif for you, and the orif says, I'm only going to agree if you pay me $150, you don't see clearly that you were only agreeing to this out of desperate measures, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. You agreed, you're mechayiv to pay, and you cannot say mishatani bach. So there's a machlekes between the Rosh and the Ramban. The Rosh holds that even if there's no oinus, you still say, you could say mishatani bach, because it's anan sadi, that you don't mean when you agree, you don't mean it when you agree to pay something to someone when it's above the market value, and therefore you could say mishatani bach, and that you weren't serious. And the Ramban holds that only b'mokom oinus do we say that you could say mishatani bach. What's pshat in the machlekes between the Rosh and the Ramban? So there are two mahalchim in the Paiskim. The first mahalch is as follows. The first mahalch holds that the Ramban is of the opinion that when a person agrees to pay something to someone in a matzav of oinus, that is not a full gemiras das to actually go into this agreement. A gemiras das is only when you do something through your own volition. But if there's an oinus that's causing you to agree to something, that's not a real agreement. And therefore, there's no gemiras das, and therefore, the hischaivus doesn't take effect at all. That is the shita of the Ramban, according to some achrayim, and the Rosh disagrees. And the Rosh doesn't hold of this a premise that a ketzitza ba'oinus is not considered a ketzitza. That's not the vort. According to the Rosh, the vort is that since people don't usually pay this amount for this type of job, it's a non-sadi, that you weren't serious. You were joking. And therefore, you always say mishatani bach, even if it's not an oinus. Mashenkin, the Ramban holds that no. When you do something in a matzav oinus, that's not a real gemiras das, and that's not a real rotzen. And since there's no rotzen to go into this agreement, it's an invalid agreement. Masha'enkein, if you didn't have a matzav oinus, so you agreed to it. So you have to fulfill your agreement. You have to follow through on what you promised. That is the first mahalach in the machlekes between the Rosh and the Ramban. Now the Achorinim say that according to this mahalach, then there's going to be another nafkamina between the Rosh and the Ramban, and this nafkamina is going to be in the reverse scenario. What if you have a case where the person tells Edim privately, he says to two valid Edim, he says that even though I'm agreeing to pay for this high price, I'm doing it b'lev shalem, and I'm completely willing and agreeable to pay this guy this extravagant price. And now afterwards, you know, someone comes over to him and says, you know, you really have a tain of mishatani bach. It's crazy. It's way above the market value. What's the halacha? According to the Rosh, he cannot say mishatani bach in this case. Why? Because since he clearly demonstrated, he clearly told Edim that he actually meant to be mechayiv himself, then you can't say that there's a non-sadi that he wasn't serious. He clearly told Edim that he was serious. So even though afterwards someone says, oh, you could say mishatani bach, he can't say mishatani bach. Because he told Edim that he was serious, he wasn't joking. And the whole taina, according to the Rosh, of mishatani bach is that there's a non-sadi that you weren't serious when you made this commitment. However, according to the Ramban, if in fact there was an oinus that was causing you to go into this agreement, then you would be able to say mishatani bach, even if you told two Edim beforehand that you were serious and you meant it when you went into this agreement. Because even though you in fact meant it when you went into this agreement, but Lamaisa, since it was done in a matzav of oinus, we say that this rotzen that you had to go into this agreement wasn't a valid rotzen. It wasn't a real rotzen because it was done b'oinus, and something that is done b'oinus doesn't have a validity in halacha because there's no gemiras das, and in order to have an effect in chesh mishpat, there has to be gemiras das, and since there wasn't gemiras das, the kinyan wasn't chal, and therefore you don't own the money. So the nafkamina between the Rosh and the Ramban is also in the opposite direction. And in this case, it comes out the Ramban is the machmir, where the Ramban is going to say that fakert, you could say mishatani bach, and the Rosh is going to say you cannot say mishatani bach. And that is a case of oinus, where you tell someone before, and you tell to Aiden that you're serious when you make this commitment. According to the Rosh, you can't say mishatani bach, because the Maisa, you clearly said that you were serious, and therefore the whole svar of mishatani bach doesn't apply, because the svar of mishatani bach means that there's a non-sadi that you weren't serious, and since you weren't serious, that's why I could get out of it, but over here you were serious. And therefore, according to the Rosh, there would be no taina mishatani bach. Mashenkin, according to the Ramban, you would be able to say mishatani bach because lamaisa was done in a matzav oinus, and that gemiras das wasn't a real gemiras das. The second approach to explain the machlekes, the Ramban and the Rosh, is as follows. And that is that both the Ramban and the Rosh agree to this svara that the reason why a person can say mishatani bach is because we have a svara, an ansadi, that he wasn't serious. And even the Ramban agrees that that is the svara of why we say that you could get out of the chiyuv by saying mishatani bach. So what's the machlekes? The machlekes is very simple. When do we say this svara that there's an ansadi that you weren't serious? According to the Rosh, any time you're paying above the market value, above the amount that people pay for this service, we say, oh, that's a raya, that you weren't serious, and you were joking, and therefore you're potter. And the Ramban holds that no. Even though you paid above the market value, that not necessarily is a raya that you were joking. Maybe you, in fact, were nachas to pay above the market value. Sometimes people do pay above the market value because there's a svar called lididi shavali. For you, it's worth it. For me, it's sentimental. It's worth it. I'll pay more than the market value. And therefore, there's no umdina. There's no anansadi that you were joking and you weren't serious when you went into this agreement. Mashenkin, if there was a matzav of oynis, we clearly see that you did it machmas oynis, then in fact there's a natsazi that you weren't serious, and in that case you could say mishatani bach. So according to this explanation of the machlekes, they both agree that the yisoid of the ptur of mishatani bach is based on the fact that you weren't serious and it wasn't a real commitment. And the machlekes gufa is, do we say that anytime you go above the market value, that's already a non-sadi that you weren't serious? That's the shita of the Rosh. And the Ramban says, no, just because you paid above the market value, sometimes people do that. It's l'didi shavali. For you, it's worth it. And therefore, there's no raya that you were joking. The only time there's a raya that you weren't serious is a case where you did it machmas oynis. Then we say that if machmas oynis, you went above market value, then we say that there's a svar of mishatani bach. Now, according to this explanation of the Machlekes, the previous nafkamina we said is not true. If, let's say, you tell two Aiden beforehand that you are serious when you make this commitment, and when you are going and paying an extravagant price, you are serious, you're not joking, then both according to the Rosh and according to the Ramban, you would not be able to say Mishatani Bach. Because now you're clearly demonstrating that you were serious in this commitment. You told two Aiden that you were serious, and therefore, even according to the Ramban, you cannot say Mishatani Bach in this case. So the first two opinions we mentioned is the sheet of the Rosh and the Ramban. The Rosh holds that any time you go above what people pay for this service, you could say Mishatani Bach in your potter. According to the Ramban, you could only say Mishatani Bach if it's clear to us that it was done in a matzav oynis, such as the case of a person running away from jail, and he sees you and he asks you to ferry him across the river. In that case, there's a clear oynis and you say Mishatani Bach. The third opinion is the sheet of the Mordechai. And the Mordechai holds in Baba Kama Ois Kuf Ayin Dalid as follows. He holds that the reason why, by the case of a person running away from jail, we say that he could afterwards say Mishatani Bach, he doesn't have to pay the full dinar that he promised to pay for this ride, that's only in a case such as the case of the guy running away from jail, where there's a mitzvah on the person ferrying him across the river to save him from a sakana. The guy's in a matzav sakana. There's a mitzvah on you to save him. So memela, you have no right to get paid for what you're doing. And since you have no right to charge the guy for saving his life, because you're mechoyev to save him, it's a mitzvah on you to save me. Therefore, if I in fact do agree to pay you, then I could say mishatani bach, I wasn't serious and I don't have to pay you, because be'etzem, you're not supposed to get paid, you're not supposed to charge me. It's a mitzvah. Only in such a case could you say Mishatani Bach. So what emerges is a tremendous yesod. The Mordechai is very much limiting this taina of Mishatani Bach. And he's saying that you could only say Mishatani Bach if you agree to something that the other fellow is mechuyev al pidin Torah to do anyways. And therefore, then you could say that the reason why I agreed to pay you is because Mishatani Bach, and you were anyways mechuyev to do it. It was a mitzvah, and you weren't supposed to get paid for it. But stama malacha, if let's say the case of the Rosh, where the guy says, I'll only be an orev, a guarantor for you, if you pay me $1 million, or $150, in that case, since he has no chiyev to become an orev, you cannot say Mishatani Bach, and you're mechuyev to pay him the $150. You cannot get out of it by saying Mishatani Bach. So that's the shita of the Mordechai. Now, according to the Mordechai, what if you have our case of the guy going to the Kaisel? Or any time a guy needs to get somewhere and he calls the cab and he says, please get me to this place. And the cab says, I'll only go there if you give me $100. And he says, okay, I'm asking. And he gets to the destination. Can the person say, you know what? Mishatani Bach, I wasn't serious. I don't have to pay you the full $100. I'll pay you the market value. According to the Mordechai, he has to give the $100. You cannot say Mishatani Bach because it's not a chiv on this cab driver to get you to your destination. Now, what about according to the Ramban? According to the Ramban, it will be tully. If there's an oinus and that's why you are masking to pay the $100, then you could say Mishatani Bach. If you weren't an oinus in this situation, then in fact, you can. If you weren't an oinus, you cannot say Mishatani Bach. The only time you could say Mishatani Bach if it was a matzav of oynis, according to the Ramban. According to the Rosh, you could say Mishatani Bach in this case, since the Maisi is charging $100 for a cab ride, and that's above what people pay for a cab ride. So according to the Rosh, you would be able to say Mishatani Bach. So how do we paskin l'maisa? In Chayshim Mishpat, in Simen Kufchav Tes, in Siyaf Chav Beis, the Ramah paskins like the Rosh, which is the first shita, the most expansive in its application to Mishat HaNibach. And the Rosh says that if, let's say, you have a person that agrees to become an Arev, and he says, I'm only going to become an Arev if you pay me $150, and you agree to it, says the Rosh, you could say Mishat HaNibach. Because since people don't pay an Arev to be be an Arev for $150, even though you agreed, there's a non-sadi that you weren't serious in your commitment, and therefore, you're potter. That is the shita of the Ramah. He passes like the Rosh, that you say the taina of Mishat HaNibach, even if it's not b'makom mitzvah, and even if it's not b'makom oinis, you say Mishat HaNibach anytime a person commits to pay more than the given price, the market value, for the item that you're doing for him. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, in Chesh HaMishpat Reish Samach Dalid Siv Yud Zayin, this din applies, bein, if the person who is making you pay the money is the one that gave the price, and bein, if you, who are actually doing the service for, in other words, bein, if you're the one who does the service, and bein, if you're the one who's having the service done for him, is the one that initiated this price. In all cases, you could say Mishat HaNibach, even if you yourself are the one that had the idea of paying this exorbitant price. In other words, this din of Mishat HaNibach doesn't apply only in a case where the person who is going to take you across the river says, I'll do it, but you have to pay me a dinar. Or the cab driver says, I'll do it, but you're going to have to pay me $100. Even, says the Aruch HaShulchan, if you are the one that made up the price, you said, if you take me, I'll pay you $150, I'll pay you $100 to take me to the Kaisel. Even if you're the one who initiated this crazy price, you yourself initiate it, you could still say Mishat HaNibach, and you don't have to pay. As I said, the Aruch HaShulchan, that no matter what, you could say Mishat HaNibach, as long as it's people don't pay this exorbitant price. What's his raya? The raya is from the case of the Gemara. In the case of the Gemara, when the guy was running away from jail, the case over there is where the boireach, the person running away from jail, himself is the one that said that if you take me across the river, I'll pay you a dinar. And therefore, since that case, we say Mishat HaNibach, even though the person who came up with the idea of paying a dinar was the person who needed the service done for him, still he could himself say later, Mishat HaNibach, I wasn't serious. That is the sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan. That's halacha lemaisa. However, there are certain exceptions to the rule where even according to the Ramah and the Rosh, you cannot say Mishat HaNibach even though you're paying more than the market value. Even though people don't pay this amount and you agreed to pay a higher amount than other people pay, still, in certain cases, there is no taina of Mishat HaNibach and you have to pay the amount that you agreed to. There are three main examples that we find that you cannot say Mishat HaNibach even when you overpay or when you agreed to overpay. The first is the Nesivis. The Nesivis in Sifkat and Ches brings from the Tashbates, where the Tashbates says that we only say that you can get out of a chiyuv by saying Mishat HaNibach if the extra money that you agreed to pay is more than a shtus, more than a sixth over the market value. If it's more than a sixth, more than people normally pay for this service, then you can say Mishat HaNibach. But if it's less than a sixth, less than a din oino, you cannot say Mishat HaNibach. That's not considered egregiously overpaying, and in that case, you cannot get out of it by saying Mishat HaNibach. That's the first exception to the rule. If the tesefes is less than a shtus, you cannot say Mishat HaNibach. You have to pay what you agreed to. Number two. The Beis Yosef brings from the Rajba, Beis Yosef in Chesh HaMishpat, Simen Reish Samach Dalet, where he brings from the Rajba and the Mordechai. If you already gave the guy the money that you agreed to pay, you can't afterwards ask for the money back and say Mishat HaNibach. You can't claim Mishat HaNibach if you already handed over the money. Now, even though there is a Shita in the Rishonim that disagrees, the Ritva, and the Ritva holds that you could, in fact, collect the money from him and say Mishat HaNibach even after you pay, we do not paskin like this. We paskin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that if you already paid, you cannot say Mishat HaNibach. And the reason is that since you actually handed over the money to him, you clearly demonstrated that you were serious. And therefore, you can't now come and claim, oh, I wasn't serious, I was joking. Why would you give it over to him? So if you already handed over the money, we say that you were serious and you cannot say Mishat HaNibach. So that's exception number two. Exception number three is according to many Paiskim, if you made a kinyan on the Hischaivus, if you were makabel with a kinyan to go and pay him for this service, this exorbitant price, then even if it's more than a sixth above what people pay, you're mechuyev to follow through and pay him. The Nesivus HaMishpat in Chavish HaMishpat Simen Reish Zamachdal brings down that machlekes between him and the Tumim about this very issue. If, let's say, you pick up a sudar and you make a kinyan chalipin to be mechayv yourself to go pay and agree with a kinyan to go and pay him more than what people normally pay for this service. This is a machlekes Rishonim. The Rashba holds that even with a kinyan, you could say Mishatani Bach. However, the Rosh holds that no, if you actually made a kinyan to pay him the higher price, then you do have to pay and you cannot say Mishatani Bach. So it's a machlekes Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Rosh. And Lamaisa, the Tumim says that it's a Svek Dedina and a Moitzin Mechel Varaya, and you could say Mishatani Bach because we can't extract the money from you. But the Nesivus disagrees, and he says that most Paiskim assume not like that, that you could, in fact, be Mechayiv yourself and irretrievably if you, in fact, do it with a Kenyan, and you cannot say Mishatani Bach if you actually do it with a Kenyan, and that's the Shita of most Paiskim, that you cannot. You can't retract by saying Mishatani Bach if you actually made a kinyan on your eschaivos. Lamaisa, the Tumim disagrees, but it's a machlekes apayiskim.